Christianity is not a life of struggle. That's why God has given us his grace, so that we enjoy a free flow of his kingdom.
Join Prophet Simon Thomas of Glory Carriers Ministry International as he brings you the divine word of God in its simplicity.
Let's be seated. I've been struggling to teach a topic in my heart today because I'm really wondering if it's necessary. But my spirit has been hovering towards that direction. And I think I'll cover more on Sunday for this topic, because we'll have a, I don't know why Tuesday service or midweek service have less number of people. It's a global problem. Hallelujah to Jesus. So some people don't get to hear some interesting topic. And funny enough, that's where you won't get the time to teach people very well. Where's Wane? If she was not here, the example would have been bad. I think I saw on her status on WhatsApp that she was asked the question, or they were asked the question on Twitter, and she said she gets most of her spark back during the midweek service. She was specific. She didn't say in church. And most times she gets a spark back to life in the midweek service. You know, there are a lot of people, hundreds of people miss midweek service, even in our church. On Sundays, you see everywhere filled to the outside. But during the midweek service, half or even less than half of the people attend are we together, because it's quite choky. There's not so much time on like Sunday for demo. That's what they think, even though I believe there's time. I hope I'm very audible. So we'll start with Hebrews 10:25. Are we together? Sorry, I want to look at my Bible while we read, because I want to take note of something. Alright, so we'll read from verse 20. Rather. Okay, let's read from verse 19. So we'll read together. One to read. Therefore, let's read together. One to read. Therefore, brethren, having boldness by a new a living sacrifice, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us, let's read together, through the veil, that is his flesh. He made a new way for us through the veil, that is his flesh. Interesting. So let's read from verse 19 again. Amen. Sorry. Want to read, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Next part of scripture. By a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil. That is his flesh. Alright, next part of scripture. Having a high priest over the house of God. Mark that word, house of God. Next part of scripture. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled and our bodies washed with pure water. Not this type you drink. Next part of scripture. Want to read? Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Next part of scripture. Next part of scripture. I said we should take note of a part before now. That's 21, I guess. So, media, can we just hit 21 and read again? Then we'll come back to this 25. And having a high priest over the house of God. Now, we'll see something very distinct here. God is talking about a new way. If you understand, or if you are familiar with Hebrews 10, you understand that here it captures in context how that Jesus came into the world. Are we together? You know, if you saw where the Bible says something about how that he made a way through his body, you will not be surprised, because in this part of scripture, verse 5, you see where he said, a body has thou prepared for me, because he never had delight in sacrifices of lambs and goats and etc. All of those Judaistic, you know, practices in the old, which were never supposed to be practiced unto God, but a practice to teach the people about what God is going to do in the death, burial, and resurrection of what? Jesus. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So that it will not look as if there was a time God was doing something like Babalawo. No. All of those things was to teach us, not heaven or anything. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? They are more like shadows of the original. Okay? And I taught you this several times, that if you look at this place carefully, you probably may see my shadow. Alright? But you cannot tell the color of my dress from my shadow. Can you? Huh? So you can't tell the details of everything I'm holding. Even if you can see the shadow, you can't tell the details from my shadow. Everything is showing. Is it black, I'll say, or what? It's showing black, colorless. Right? But if you look at me now, you can tell what color suit is this. Let me see if you know color. What color suit is this? Okay. This one is like you were in shadow. This is not shadow, it's object. So what color? Gray. Yeah, sure. Okay. Alright, what color is the Bible? Okay. Am I wearing another thing? What color is my skin? Caramel. Alright. Are we together? So you can tell the details of me, of everything on me, through what? Me, looking at me, not looking at my shadow. So all of those things were shadows of the beautiful things, like the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, of the good things to come in Christ Jesus. Jesus is the fulfillment of all of those Judaistic practices. For instance, he's the lamb that takes away the sins of the world. So we saw how lambs were slain in the Old Testament, not because God wants it to be a practice in heaven. Are we together? But because he's teaching people of what he will come and do through the death, burial, and resurrection of what? Jesus Christ. So that when Jesus comes and say, behold the lamb who takes away, they will leave the old lamb, the human lambs they've been killing, and say, this is actually the real lamb. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? But coincidentally, it didn't work. The same priests that were killing lambs were the ones that facilitated the killing of Jesus. So is it a good thing that that order, that shadow Judaistic Francis are supposed to do, or is supposed to do, was never fulfilled? Rather, Satan got them blinded by the practices. He created a religion out of it. Are we together? And I think it is even troubling us even till today, if we are very sincere, that if you go to some churches, they are very religious than spiritual. They are very religious. Some of them will not bow to any, they don't want to be edited. They don't want their dogmas to be edited because they believe that their dogma is the original dogma that came from heaven. Are we together? Like when Jesus came to them, he said to them, this is wrong. And they'll ask him a question. Are you greater than our father Moses that did this? Can you remember? They'll ask him several questions. So it was not about whether what Jesus was saying was right or not, but because it was about the stature of the person that said it. In their heart, Jesus was nowhere compared to Moses. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? But thank God Moses said something beautiful in the book of Acts. He said, unto you God will raise another prophet like unto me. Alright? And he's not in any way assuming that Jesus and him are the same. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? It's more like, see, the way I have authority over you guys, so would God raise another person that will have authority over you people. Then he said to them, he said, whatever he says, listen to him. And that's why when John the Baptist came and was, you know, practicing the baptism, all right, it says he was practicing baptism. That's another Judaistic practice, all right, that was in the old order. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? He was, you know, getting people inside water and removing them and getting them inside water. And not because heaven needs water to make anybody clean. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Are you people here? And think with me. Heaven does not need any water to make people clean. If water makes people clean, what of the blood? And that's why somehow, while we're reading, the Bible says something about pure water. And I said, it's not the type we sell today. It's the pure water in Christ Jesus. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? So if anybody be in Christ, he has entered the true pure water that makes people new creations. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say now? Now, not that Judaistic practice. And that's why there is nobody seated here who ever got new true sprinkling of water, the baptism style of, you know, that sprinkling for children, and the one that as an adult you get into the water and come back. Nobody was clean that way. Even though we felt like we should be clean, we all went back and kept on sinning. But when you became filled with the Holy Spirit, everything changed. Because whatever you are doing with water baptism is to point to the coming of Jesus. How that he will influence us, you know, or how that he will make us new through his death, burial, and resurrection by the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit at work in us today. Jesus has done everything for us on the cross of Calvary, and he came again as the Holy Spirit, Aros Paracletus, another of the same kind, to make sure that whatever he achieved on the cross of Calvary should be facilitated in our lives today. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? And that's why it's dangerous to claim that you know the work of the Holy, you know what Jesus has done on the cross of Calvary, and not be walking in alignment with the Holy Spirit, or not wanting the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? You know, one time in scripture, the Bible said something somewhere. It said, maybe media can help me get it. It said the reason why the Holy Spirit has not come on their inside yet is because Jesus was not yet glorified. So he had not been resurrected yet. That is why we cannot receive the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Until he was dead, buried, and resurrected, the Holy Spirit cannot come in and upon us. Alright, because his duty is to make sure that what Jesus did on Calvary becomes the reality of our lives as he works on us every day. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? So going back to water, John was baptizing people with water. He was dipping people in water. And to the heart, I wanted to say in the heart of John, but according to scripture, John was not ignorant of what he was doing. The Bible said in John 1 that John was actually doing that as an algorithm, a step-by-step procedure to look for the Messiah in Israel. Because the prophecy says that the Messiah should be found where? In Israel. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So he was doing that to look for the Messiah, because the Bible said, he that you see the Spirit come upon and remain. That's what John said. I think we read that before. Should we read it again? John 1 around, is it 20? Huh? Let's see, around 19, 20 thereabout. Whew. All right, let's see from 19. He said, now this is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? Now he wants to introduce himself. Next part of scripture. He said, he confessed and did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Christ. All right? Next part of scripture. John said, I am not the Christ. What did he say next? He said, and they asked him, what then? Are you Elijah? He said, I am not. Are you the prophet? He answered, no. Next part of scripture. Then they said to him, who are you, that we may give an answer to those who sent us? What do you say about yourself? Next part of scripture. And John said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. Next part of scripture. Now those who were sent were from the Pharisees. Next part of scripture. And they asked him, saying, why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? Why then do you baptize? Next part of scripture. John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. Not even John knew at that time. I don't know why he did not say whom I do not know too. It is he. Now you see capital letter H there. Who coming after me is preferred before me. Coming after me, yet preferred before me. You know, he's older than Jesus according to the scriptures. But he still had respect for Jesus. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? If John was an African man, it would have been hard. But he said, coming after me, yet preferred before me. Alright? So you probably would have started baptism before we came with this revelation, but the revelation is preferred before the water baptism. And did you get what I just said? So what truly makes people clean is not water, it's Jesus. Alright? John just said it because his ministry is all about water baptism. Alright? It is he who coming after me is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I am not even worthy to lose. Next part of scripture. These things were done in Betabara, beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. Next part of scripture. Next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. You see that? He said, although coming after me is preferred before me. His ministry is about, that's why they call him John the Baptist. He was baptizing people, and of course, the people felt like he was removing their sins through that water. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? But he said, the one coming after me is preferred before me. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you now? Do you catch this revelation? That even if baptism have been trending for a long time, now that revelation has come, revelation is older than the practice, this religious practice called baptism. Even though a lot of people will fight us because it has become a religion to them. It is part of their dogma. They don't want to edit it. You know, just like one time I was talking about a tribe in our state, the Igedis. I was like, why are they not marrying the thief people? So I was joking with one of my friends. I said, so if I found love in Igedi land, I'll be denied. If God has said an Igedi lady should be my wife, will they do that to me? Guess what he said? He said, no, for you, I think they'll want you to marry. I said, okay, why? Me out of the whole thief people? So I started laughing. I said, because you know me, they don't know me. So they would have said no to. So I said, but it's funny.
There are a lot of good men from different tribes, and probably from the team tribe too, that probably God have destined to marry an Igede lady. Why would that not be allowed? He said, Pastor, that thing is bigger than us. He said, I'll even tell you a story. He said, there was one man we advocated one time and went to the village. We traveled from here and there, far and near. We went and we were advocating that the thing should stop because we found that our Igede ladies are liking team guys too much. Yes. It's so funny that the tribe they are telling you not to marry is, that's where love is finding them more. So he said to me, he said, we're advocating because our brothers too are liking team girls. In fact, we found that in this Benue, we are even more connected to the team people. So we're trying to beg. Have you heard an Igede man speak team before? It's as if it's their tribe. You know, I was in Jos one time, I sat with some Igede people. When I heard them speaking team, I couldn't believe. I didn't even believe. I started losing my trust in myself that I was thief. They were so good. They were listening to a station the station in Jos, I don't know if it's still existing. It's only thief they speak in that station. Was it on a Friday or something? A program just for thief. And they are the ones that listen to it more. So he said they went to the eldest person in Igede land and told him that they want him to avert this law because there are people are finding a lot of love with the thief people. And the man looked at them. Guess what the man said? He said, I'm too young to change this culture. He said, that's how they gave up again. Somebody who is the oldest man in the land is telling you he's too young. You know what that means? They have been fathers. He said, in his mind, he's like, I'm not the one that will come and cause trouble. Maybe if he feels like when he gets to the spirit realm, they will beat him very well. So he felt like, no, it's not me. It's older than me. And that's how they stopped. He said they are still looking for another time that will go and create another protest. You know, because this thing had to stop. Because see what they started years ago is now a trend. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? It has become a norm. This can probably be a decision from one man that come and called a committee, you know, years ago in Nigeria and said, people have seen what these people are doing, but they should never be mine from our side again. That's how it started. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? And now we can't change it, even though we are more civilized, we have gone to all the school. Even an Igede man that is the PhD holder cannot change this thing. Why? It has been a religion, a doctrine for a long time. That's how it is in the church too. You come to the church, you see people, you know, you see wrong practices. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? And you cannot do anything about it. Not because the scripture does not speak against it, but because it has really become a religion in the hearts of people. See, now as I'm talking about baptism, I remember one of the heated discussion I had with a pastor one time on baptism. I mean, one time on the internet, personally, although we didn't speak out, was on baptism. I could even see her pride, you know. She's a female, you know. Let me tell you why pastors have a problem with female Jews. A lot of times, some of them, that would be indiscipline. Some of them, they don't know how to manage power. So you see that pastors, more pastors, you know, men, you know, you see them talking wrongly about women who are in charge of, you know, spiritual organizations. Not because it's wrong. It's not wrong for a woman to head a church. But some of them don't know how to manage power. You know, the way a woman can talk at home sometimes, that she will not know how to curtail herself. Sometimes they can carry it to the church. And while we're talking, I remember, she, you know, I didn't want to believe that what I was saying is true. Because I've heard some rumors that they don't know how to manage power. And she was like, you see, I think she called me Simon. You see, and I was wondering, who is this? And she's not married yet, too. She's yet unmarried. You know, but she has influence over her congregation. I think a church of probably 50, thereabout. You know, and I was wondering what impetus. In my heart, I say, is it baptism that caused this thing? This is something we can just talk about. If you don't agree, it's fine. They don't use to fight somebody for doctrine. It's just to tell you my perspective. You say, I don't agree. I say, talk. May God help us to agree one day. We will meet in Christ because it's the unity of the faith. Doesn't mean we must agree right now. The unity of the faith is in Christ Jesus, the knowledge of the Christ. Wherever we go, if we really found truth, wherever we are going, if we really found truth, we'll meet at the center. Christ is the center. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? And she was not really, you know, excited. She felt like I was being just unnecessarily persistent. She felt like I should just allow that to slide and that baptism should be practiced. And I said, it is not a practice. In the heart of heaven, baptism was never a practice. It was man-made. And listen, it's not supposed to even be a religion for one day. Because you see, the reason why John the Baptist was doing it, we are reading, all right, is to discover the Messiah. Let's try to finish it up. Now, he had seen Jesus, meanwhile he was baptizing with water, isn't it? But see, he's saying that Jesus will do exactly what the people are thinking the water baptism will do. Let's read again. The middle of the second line, he said, behold, the Lamb of God who what? Takes away the sin of... He was shouting here. Because, you know, they had been thinking, whatever we are doing will take away sin. But here is John saying that it is this man standing here. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? That will take away sin. Remember I said things about lamb and etc. It was to teach them about the coming of Christ. So that when they see Christ, they will let go of all of those practices. So of course, it will be troubling to see that somebody is sacrificing a lamb now that Christ is revealed. And that's what the Bible says in the book of Galatians, that Christ is the end of the law. The end of all Judaistic practices. He's supposed to end it because all of the fulfillment of every practice which are shadows on the Old Testament are fulfilled in Christ. Alright? I said about living water. That's what the Bible says, something about pure water in Hebrews 10. Jesus is the pure water that takes away every sin, you know, that cleans away any kind of infirmity from anybody's body, anybody's life. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? The Bible speaks about Jesus as living water. And now the Bible said, if anybody is dipped in this water, he comes out a what? A new creation. You see that now? Now it's virtual. We're walking by faith, not by sight. You believe in Jesus? Yes. You have been synced into him. All right? Especially via the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. And now that, all right, you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you are a new creation. Old things, you come out walking in the world, everybody is seeing your life change because you are now in Christ Jesus. Now, this is how the thing is supposed to work, not water. Next part of scripture, then it says in verse 30, it says, this is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me. You see him here. I don't know how people see this, but John is actually trying to affirm the ministry of Jesus over his ministry. Jesus did not baptize anybody with water. You know, some people said after Jesus left here, he still saw the disciples baptizing people with water. Jesus did not command anybody to baptize people with water. But you see, it is after Jesus was resurrected that the New Testament began. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So that order was still there. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain? To separate people who follow the Lord from people that don't follow the Lord. But now that Jesus is resurrected, if anybody be in Christ, because that was when the Father gave him a name above all names. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Now, if anybody be in Christ, he is a what? New creation. But you see, sometimes when people read the Bible, they don't understand that it is human beings like me and you that were in the Bible. Alright? I figured out one time when I was reading E.W. Kenyon's material. I saw one of the things he wrote that got me really surprised. I was wondering, I said, what kind of impetus is this? He said the 12 didn't understand redemption so much like Paul. And I was like, he's not supposed to talk like that. He's supposed to sound humble. But that was not sounding proud. He was just spitting out reality. He said the 12 understood Jesus as a man on the earth more than understanding the redemptive work of Jesus. That's very true. They related later with Jesus on the earth as the man Jesus. When Jesus resurrected, he stayed with them for only 40 days. And when he left, they were more glued, you know, if you really listen to scripture. It is not, you know, every part that you try to spiritualize too much. Do you know that the Bible in John 1, when John was speaking, he said, that which we have saw, seen, handled, touched, the word of truth will bring unto you. If you look at it deeply, he's actually trying to make them understand that the Jesus he can present to them is the Jesus he saw, touch and handle. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain to you? I don't know whether you get what I'm trying to explain. No, I really don't think. John is trying to make them understand that he has stayed with Jesus. He has walked with Jesus. He ate with Jesus. And now he's presenting them to them the Jesus he spoke with, ate with, slept. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Because he was a brother of Jesus. You know? Should I call his stepbrother now? I don't know. But the womb Jesus came out from is the womb he came out from. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Very important. Right? But you see, when John the Revelator encountered God in the Isle of Patmos, it was another ball game. Alright? Because you see, there was a situation way back in Italy. The church were under persecution of the present day Caesar in that time. Are we together? Is it Caesar they call them? The people in charge of Rome? Huh? Or whatsoever. So the one that was in charge was persecuting Christians. And John was the oldest Christian leader. More like a pope at that time. Or an archbishop at that time. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? He was the oldest. And Christians were being persecuted in that. Christians began to do services under the ground. Are we together? You know, I explained to you the part of the scripture that explains 666, that spoke about 666. How that people are seeing it too deeper than it is. The word of God is close to you, near you. God is closer to you than you can ever imagine. You don't need to think too extraordinarily deep when you are filled with the Holy Spirit to see a revelation in scripture. You just need to be yourself and want to know. And you'll see. Alright? I told you those days when I'm praying to understand God, I never get to hear him. But when I'm going to church and I'm playing ball, maybe I see stone and I hit the stone. I carry stone and I'm throwing the stone. You see that when I'm just free, as I throw the stone and it lands, one kind of revelation will just hit me from the landing stone. And I'll just catch a revelation. And sometimes I'm like, while I was shouting and praying, I was not seeing. And the Holy Ghost was like, you were too serious for me. A lot of people are like that. They are too serious. That's why they are not seen in the realm of the spirit. Instead of them to just calm down. You know, the way African Christians behave, I really think they don't believe that white Christians really know God. Have you seen a regular white pastor preaching before? You see the way they are calm sometimes? Do you watch TBN? And you see the way some white preachers preach? There's one white preacher, very old, with his glasses. And so Jesus was wearing. In my heart, I'm like, I can't imagine the number of African Christians that have gone to the next channel. I mean, you just put faith channel. And you just remind. So you said that Jesus was one time about it. And so you just say, change it to, can I prove? Bang, bang, bang. Mommy, come on, they are prophesying on TV. That's what they like. And you don't know that what causes those kind of moments where you see miracles and the miraculous is this kind of soft moment. It's called the spirit of counsel. Then the spirit of what? Might. You want to see might? You must sit with him and listen to his word. Before you see him in mighty expressions. But many people don't have that patience. That this man of God, you are sitting, shouting on TV, doing the miraculous and the rest, and saying, can I prophesy? In their houses, they were not saying, can I pro? Can I pro? Holy Ghost pro? Mm-mm. They were very soft with the Holy Ghost. And listening. And there's a problem because some of them don't like, you know, when you are so into the prophetic, you don't like to teach. You just want to show off. Alright? It's true. The prophetic is so beautiful. You know, when we're in the Jesus Heat 26, the second day, I was praying and I wanted the Lord to create a shift in the atmosphere after the sermon. And the Lord said, give one prophetic word. And some of you don't know that we are speaking with the Lord. So I looked at a guy and the Lord told me his father was a pastor. As I just saw it and I came to the row. You know, sometimes when we say this row, people think we're guessing. I just want you to stand up and say this row. There's somebody here, if you have mind. And say what you are saying. Then you know that it's not prediction. For you to have mind to say this row. Sometimes we say the fourth line. And in the school of prophets, the prophetic, truly we are being careful. Because in the realm of the spirit, the way you hear, it can just fall in different places. So you just find a connection and connect it. Yes. Prophets are very careful people. But when the river connects, alright? There are two words in the Hebrew for the prophetic. I can't remember the two words now. But one of them means glimmers of light, and the other one means flashes of light. Glimmers of light just flash and flash and flash. You have an idea what God is saying. He just says one thing, and he says one thing there. You are trying to look for the connection in your head. So a lot of times you just hear 26, you don't hear much. You don't feel the energy in a place. You know, I don't know if you remember the story I told you. God told me the date of somebody's, the birth date of a lady many years ago in Kaduna. Priscilla was her name. I had a dead, a birth date. What is it? Dead? A birthday. I heard it. So I called her. I said, sit here. She sat down. I said, what is your, you know, funny enough, I've not understood that technology of writing and asking. You know, some prophets who are very wise will now write it first and keep the paper. I said, what is your date of birth? If it's wrong, it'll match the paper more. You don't understand what I'm trying to say, right? If it's wrong, you'll tell ushers, carry that paper and burn it. But if it's right, you'll say, give me that paper. What is right? What is here? Have you seen some men of God do that before? Okay, I'm giving you some of our trick. So I said, but I didn't know that technology at that time. What is your date of birth? She said it. I said, hey! I knew it all. But you see, now it's not making any sense. Because I did not say it in faith. I was playing safe. But anytime you're able to talk to somebody, it's glimmers of light, yet God does not give you everything. You have to move in faith and say, you, I see this. And when he confirms it, the river flows. You know, it connects. It becomes flashes of light. So if you're observing that second day of the meeting, when the Lord gave me a word for that brother, I said, you, brother, blah, 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 blah. And he affirmed that his father was a pastor. And boom, the river connected. And everything else that the Lord was saying, I said it to him. And boom, you saw him lying on the ground. If we're predicting, he will not lie on the ground. You saw he was rolling. He has been waiting for that word from God. And all of a sudden, everybody's eye, boom, was sharp. If you observe, now everybody wants to concentrate in the meeting. What is really happening here? And when we said, if your father is a pastor, come out. People that wanted their father to be pastors still came out. You know, church is interesting. Say, is your father a pastor? The ones that want their father to be pastors, to the comma. So it's quite interesting. Sometimes it's steered via a move, just a move of the spirit. I will get out trying to explain to you. Now, where was I before I came here? Let me see if you are following me. Let's try to round up because security is not so good these days. All right? Where was I? You are not following? Where was I? I want to see who was following me. Huh? What? John the Revelator. Thank you. Thank you. Spirit of counsel. It's a spirit of counsel, my head. But I remember John the Revelator in the Isle of Patmos. Are we together? Now, they wanted him dead. Alright? Are we together? He was in charge of the church. And I think I was trying to connect something about the book of Revelation 66. Can you remember? Caesar, that coded way of speaking. Pastor, my God, there's something to do. That coded way of speaking. God is great. That coded way of speaking. And I said 66 is not a mark of the beast that will be on our head today. Just like today, I was interfaced with a video that got me very annoyed. They say AI is not artificial intelligence, that in the spirit is an alien intelligence. I got offended. I'm a computer scientist. What I saw really got me irritated. I couldn't help it. I just had to screen record it immediately and post it. I was scared. I said, I hope some of our members now have not written that down. Because the interviewer is even a man of God. AI is not alien intelligence. Are you listening to me? This man of God is sitting like he wants to move. You want to move? He said what? Get water for him. You don't need to suffer him. Look for water. We are a very kind church. You know what we're talking is around this part of scripture. This, you know, the assembly of brethren. So, are we together? Are you here? So I said, it is wrong. And she said, a man called Yuval Noah said that AI is actually going to be a way, a means of facilitating the coming of aliens. And I said, to hell with Yuval Noah. We don't care who he is. Who is he? How many brains does he have? Because one white man says something, they'll say, why do you even think the Antichrist is a white man? What if he's a Nigerian? I don't know why. I don't know why we think like that. I didn't say anything. Yes. Why do you think the Antichrist must come from US? What if? There's something we're experiencing today. What if the present day situation is, I mean, fuel is 1370. What if these people are the Antichrist? What if they are the Antichrist? Are we together? And I said, that's wrong. You see, AI is artificial intelligence. They want to use it to facilitate an alien whatsoever belief. We don't care. I've never seen alien with my eye. The only thing God told us he created in this world was man and woman. If you have alien, you're on your own. Are you forgetting what I'm trying to say? Don't be believing some kind of jokes. And some of you's cartoons, they've made you to believe all of these things now. You watch movies and start, especially these vampire movies. Do you know some people argue to you that they are vampires? It's somewhere in the US. Stop all of those beliefs. Remember one time they said the TV was devil's box. Who is enjoying the TV like the church now? Nobody. So all of those things are religious beliefs. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? And use AI to the glory of God. I don't think anybody is using AI, enjoying AI like we Christians now. If I tell you things I do with AI. When AI finish, sometimes when I'm trying to do some things with AI, when I say, it will first praise me, wow, this is a mind-blown idea. Then it will rearrange it the way, you know, then I'll not say no, I insist, use my words. Because I don't want you people to come and say, yeah, this pastor is here. I'll say, use my own words. Don't. And AI is beautiful. Are we together? Yes. Glory to God forevermore. Somebody is saying AI is taking the place of human beings. How? If you are not intelligent, you cannot use AI. Only intelligent people can use AI. So if you are not intelligent, AI cannot help you. You can't just carry AI and say, write a book for me on kingdom. Are you okay? AI will ask you how. Do you guys understand what I'm trying to explain to you? Very important. So you see, people have this funny, alright, now listen carefully. 66, if you read that part of scripture, media help me with that part of scripture in the book of Revelation, is an encoded way of Christians speaking to themselves. It's more like we are Christians now, right? We were in those days under the rule of Caesar. And now Caesar doesn't want Christians in Rome. He doesn't want them. And they have to be speaking to themselves in coded way. And we're more of Jews that were Christian in Rome. Are you forgetting what I'm trying to say? Because at that time, Rome took over Jerusalem. Are you forgetting what I'm trying to explain to you? So they had to speak in a unique way, and only them used to speak like that. The Jewish people, the Hebrew guys, have an encoded way of speaking. They can replace or substitute numbers with alphabets. So, for instance, if they tell you 20, 28, 35, they are saying something to you in a coded way. So when they were in Rome, now they had to use that way to speak. If they want to share Bible in a location, they can't say go and share Bible in a location. If they catch you, they'll kill you. So they have to talk in a way. So they said there's a beast, though. They were writing letters. If you collect the letter, you don't understand what they are writing. And they were like, you see, there's a man who is like the beast, blah, blah, blah. If you read the book of Daniel 7, in the realm of the spirit, wicked kings are likened to what? Beasts. And in those days, Caesar was a wicked man, so he was likened to a beast. And instead of calling, they say he that has wisdom, let him calculate the number of the beast, 666. Are you forgetting what I'm trying to say? Now, if you calculate that now, Nero Caesar's name equates to 666. It has nothing to do with that generation. You know, it's so funny that if you get to an hotel and you see 666, some people will be like, hello waiter, can you please change this room for me? And if you're in room 666, if you're a very religious Christian and bats or bed begin to blow, you'll be like, oh my God, I said it. I'm in 666. If you buy cloth now, you see 666. Most people return it. And the devil has seen that Christians have been, you know, wrongly informed. So Satan now is even using the 666 to shout. Olodo. So you see some people they'll put 666 on Facebook. One, there will be these 666 that we are these 666. Yeah, yeah. They'll now put one teeth that is long like they are vampires. You see Christians getting scared. It has nothing to do with the end times. Are you even getting what I'm trying to explain to you? So be at peace with yourself. Hallelujah to Jesus. So John in the Isle of Patmos, John was somebody who understood the love of God. I'm going somewhere. Are we together? And understood it so much in that at a point at that time, he was a ruler. They dared to kill him. In fact, the history has it that they dipped John the Revelator in boiling oil. And he did not die. So when they got tired, they took him and threw him where they used to throw corpses. Christians that they've killed and they've died, you know, that they've killed, you know, they carry their bodies and they go and throw them there. Dead bodies, they throw them there. So they took John, who was alive. They said, this one is refusing to die. Just carry him and throw him there. And when he sat there and missed corpse, he started crying and praying to the Lord. When he saw the number of Christians that were dead. I mean, he had been praying by that time. But now I'm sure he was hit more with that reality. And when he began to pray, that's where he gave birth to the book of Revelation. Suddenly he was in a trance, in a vision that stayed probably days. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? And was seeing things and was writing. He was wondering, what is happening to the church? This is not a prophecy for the church. Somewhere in Revelation 4, you see where God was speaking to him. And he actually gave him a picture of the church using the 7 candlestick. And somewhere he now said, come up hither. Saying the church has to come up hither. You know, somewhere in Revelation 5, God helped him to see a picture in the realm of the spirit that when he turned to see the lion, you know, firstly, they said there was a scroll sealed with 7 seals, which will determine the salvation of men, because he was looking for a solution for his people. And God did not do a new thing there. I'll show you. What God did there was not a new thing. God made him to understand that while I was yet with you people, as Jesus, when I died, was buried and resurrected, that was a new thing I did for the church. That was what I did that the church was supposed to be leveraged on or predicated upon. That the gates of hell will not what? Prevail against. Can you remember that part of scripture? Upon this rock I will build, and the gates of hell will not prevail. And listen, the gate of hell in the days of Jesus was not only virtual. It was a physical part of Jerusalem. A part of Jerusalem that was more like, we can call it a GRA when I was doing my studies, where these big men were staying and they had their gods. At that time, a family have a god they are worshipping, another family have their own god. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? And you know, all of them, of course, were against Christians. Just like every other gods and tradition and religions are against Christians. If you observe the even Islam is aligning with Illuminati now against Christ. Do you know what I'm trying to say? Oh my God, do not give you understanding. So let me continue what I'm trying to say. You know, I was telling one of my friends, I said, when he's Christian, everybody aligns against them. When he's Christian, Satan will align with any religion. I said, let's kill them. That's how it used to be. But Jesus told them that if you're on Christ, he said the gate of hell will not what? Prevail. He promised them that. And so you think Jesus will say anything new now to John in the Isle of Patmos because it's seeming like the gate of hell were prevailing. So he said to, you know, John was crying. Who is able to break the scroll and open his seven seals? There lies the solution. And it was seeming new to John. And the reason why I was so sure John didn't know the solution for the church was because John was crying. If he knew, he wouldn't be crying. Especially because they said that no one was worthy in the heavens nor on the earth to break the scrolls and open his seven seals. The Bible says, and John began to cry. He was crying because here is a solution and nobody can open the solution for us. I want to see the solution. Probably that was happening in the heart of John. That's why he was crying. If only he knew that this solution had already been on the earth a long time ago. And one of the elders said, weep not. He said, the lion of the tribe of what? Judah has prevailed. Guess what? The Bible said, when he turned to see the lion of the tribe of Judah that had prevailed, what did he see? A lamb standing as if it was slain. Who is that lamb? What did John say? Behold, the Lamb of God. That takes away what? Meaning it was a death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus that was the solution already on the earth for the church. That when he died, God gave him a name above all names. That in the name of Jesus, every knee what? Bows. And every word, tongue confesses that Jesus is Lord. That was the solution. But somebody is asking, is that what will save Christians from persecution? Yes. Yes. Yes, that's what will save Christians from persecutions. Do you know if the church understands our place in Christ today, there'll be no problem even in our country. I was talking with a pastor friend. I said, one of the problems of the church today is that people are not subjecting all of their ideas to the obedience of the Christ. We are coming into a time that it is so obvious, not just to pastors, and not just to believers, but to even unbelievers, that tribalism is even entering into the church. That when your language man becomes depressing, then you cannot talk again. We have come to that point. It's so obvious. But the Bible says we've been called out from every tribe, people, and what? Nation. If we had aligned with the Christ, this would not be happening. We can be able to look at somebody who comes from the same village with us and say, you are doing a wrong thing. And if we begin to loud our voices and say, we're not going to partake in this evil. Alright? Because what you are doing is a wrong thing. What did Jesus say? He said, my brothers and sisters are those that do the will of the Father. I was talking with a friend. I said, I'm sure even till this morning they killed people in Jos. I don't know when we will step in. Maybe when they want us to step in when Reverend Dachomo is late. That is when you see people standing up in vexation. Cowards. God forbid. But imagine that kind of thing happen. You will see when people will start showing that they are pastors. But it is now that we are supposed to speak up. I'm very sure till this morning they killed in you think if the church rises in Nigeria, any government can behave anyhow? You think if the church rises in this country, Tinubu can talk? Do you know how many number of Christians are in this country? Do you know the kind of influence Christian leaders have all over the world from this country? You think if all of us come out from the street, any police can outnumber us? But you see, even in the church, why some of us are saying this is wrong, some are saying it is right. So there's a problem. Are you able to get on trying to explain to you? There's a problem already. We're not all leveraging on the same substance. We're not thinking alike. Christ is not the foundation of everybody. Some are thinking something different. Are you here tonight? Are you understanding what I'm trying to say? The church is very strong. I was seeing that, was it yesterday morning or something? How that God was speaking to my spirit. He said, do you know I never said gathering of brethren? I said, ah. He said, check the scripture in Hebrew. I said, the assembly of the brethren. There's a difference between gathering and assembling something. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? There's a difference between what? Gathering and what? Assembling something. That simply means we gather but we are not assembled. And it is because we don't know our place in Christ Jesus. It is as we know our place in Christ Jesus that we become assembled, not just gathering. If you are gathering, it's just you are just a part that nothing is happening. But what if the machine is truly assembled together? It will bring about the effect of what it's supposed to bring. If you just drop all the components of a car, it's there. But if they are all aligned and assembled the right way, the car will start moving. It will take you to your destination. Are you able to get what I'm trying to explain to you? So it's more like we gather, but there's no effect because we are not effective. We are not assembled. That's why there's no effect. And what will determine our assembleness or our assembling? The knowledge of the Christ. He said, upon Christ, I will build my church. He did not say upon anybody's idea. He said, upon Christ, I will build my church so that the gates of hell will not what? Prevail against us. So he told John, come up here. Come up here. And I tell you a secret. If you look at the Bible, it's not even a secret. If you look at the Bible, look at the book of Acts, you will see that there's a troubling situation there. Paul, if you look at it carefully, Paul was having some sort of argument with the 12. And that's why I said, you must understand that these people were human beings like us. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Huh? And there were some kind of biases from our human nature flowing there too, in their hearts too. The Bible said there's no temptation that is not common to man. Meaning the temptation of scriptures, you will feel them today. Elijah's temptation. You know, some of you don't believe Elijah was a human being. He was a human being. At a point when he was hungry, he told God he's not going again. Hunger. He told God he's not going anywhere. But there are some people shouting, I want the mantle of Elijah, blah, 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 blah. And it's not bad to want the mantle of Elijah, only that Jesus is risen. So why are you looking for a mantle of Elijah? But this is the point. He was a human being like you and I. He was hungry. He told God, I'm not going again. Not because he lost his father or mother, but because he was hungry. And he sat down and said, God, nothing will happen in this place till I eat. And when he sat down, God brought him food. And when God gave him, he said, eat. In fact, when God gave him the food, he said, eat, I know you, eat. Eat, this journey is far. You will soon stop. Eat, Elijah. God managed the situation with Elijah. Elijah was proud. You didn't see it in the Bible? At a point, he felt like he had had enough. Just like some of us in church, sometimes when leaders suffer, you suffer. When you start to stand through the test of time, when you stay like in church for 10 years, you know, I've only bought a lot in this church. Elijah was like that. He felt like he has done so much for God. You know the king, you know what Jezebel did to him? All of those troubling situations. So he gathered all of them together and he said, God, these are my strong reason. I don't think anybody can do this thing for you. See what I face. See what a woman nearly did to me. See what her husband, see how they were. In fact, now if I enter Israel, they have declared I'm wanted. I'm giving up. Let me go back to where I'm coming from. And instead of God say, Elijah, please. You know what God told him? Now that was pride. God told him, be going. There are many in the cave that have not bowed down. Go, let me pick a fresh one. I'm even tired for you. Elijah did not go again. He said, oh God, I'm sorry. I didn't know that you have plenty. So it's not only me that is. He said, you want to see a video? Plenty people that will do what you did. They are around. I don't just want to use them now. I don't want to show them now. There are plenty of them. So sometimes when you think you've had it enough, you've done the best, you are the best, let it not enter your head. Don't feel proud. You've done it all, but there are many thousands that will do it also. What am I trying to say? God has a lot of men. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Elijah was proud. He was proud. Another point he gave with Elijah, he had anger issues. This bad head that we call Pastor Phil every day in this church. Sorry that I call Pastor Phil, not you. If you try it, if you like to say Pastor Bahead, you are finished. We call people every day. You know those days that children were in an academy. They call it Ribado Cantonment. The feed name is Ribado, although they call it engineer also. There's this my friend Aliu, our coach, God bless his soul, very wonderful man. The man had bad head. So everybody are saying, Coach Kevin, Coach Kevin. If they are watching me, they will still remember, Coach Kevin, Coach Kevin. But you see, this Aliu and the other friend, uncle, is Coach Bahed. Coach Bahed. Coach Bahed. He will punish them and punish them and punish them. Now he gave up on them at some point. They were too big for him. They can play the football, so he cannot pursue them. Yet, he was just managing the situation. So you see this Bahed who are calling people. That's what I'm trying to say. They call Elijah Bahed. And it was children, not his mates. Children say, ah, sir, you are Bahed. And probably Elijah was like, stop it. Ah, come and see Bahed. And you know, they were following Elijah. Bahed. Bahed, prophet. And he felt bad. He felt bad. Now, maybe you would have considered that those people were just children. But Elijah said, I'm talking to you people. You're not listening. He just hit his mantle on the ground. And he called for bears. They came from nowhere. While they were eating the children, he walked and left. Now, are we together in this place? So you see, there's humanity was still there. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? And that's why if you don't have good character, right? If you don't have the fruit of the Spirit, you use the power of God and kill people. You use the power of God. And that is why as a Christian, you must not have anger issues. You will destroy a lot of lives. Some of you, if God allows you to enter some intensity of power, it's your mouth that will not allow you to enter there now. Because if he allows you enter some intensity of power, people will be dying every time. You can imagine the number of people that will get mad. You'd be mad. Person start misbehaving. Imagine the number of people that would have been mad today. And imagine the number of people that would have been stupid. You are very stupid. You start acting stupid. Idiot. You start seeing idiots moving. You see that? Fool. Then he loses his mind. Some of you, even this morning, you insulted somebody. You did mad. And for some of you, forget the sin because you don't even take it to be sin again. You did mad. You did mad. God won't punish you, Abby. God don't punish you. It has become more like a norm. Hallelujah to Jesus. In fact, some play with insults, stupid girl. Stupid boy. Behead. Fish. Hallelujah to Jesus. So is Elijah too hard his humanity? What am I trying to say? The 12, they had a problem. Heated argument with Paul several times on scriptures. Paul was somebody who truly understood redemption. They were more, you know, they were so familiar with Jesus as a person, with the knowledge of Jesus as a person, that they didn't truly capture the back end event of everything that happened in his death, burial, and what? Resurrection. A good example is John the Revelator. That after several years, the salvation of the people that Jesus died for, of humanity, he got to see it in the Isle of Patmos. Remember the Bible says, when he turned to see the lion of the tribe of Judah, what did he see? A lamb standing. He was shocked. Really? This is how we got our salvation? This is how we got our salvation? And that fired him up. Because he saw he heard from Jesus, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gate of hell will not prevail. But there's something that determines the rock. What is the rock? The revelation of Christ. Which is a function of Jesus' what? Death and what? Burial and what? Resurrection. It was when he was buried and resurrected that God gave him a what? A name. That name called the Christos. And upon this name, every knee bow, every tongue confesses that Jesus is Lord. And the gate of hell will not prevail over us. That's how he got it. Alright? So there was one major argument. It was about baptism. In fact, one time Peter, who is supposed to be the father of the church, at a point, while he was eating with the Gentiles, he saw the Pharisees coming. He didn't have the impetus to stand against religion. He was hiding away from religion. You know, he understood what Jesus has done, but the mind to stand for it was not really there. And so while they were coming, the Pharisees, he hurriedly ran away. Paul observed that he used style to run away from the Gentiles. He didn't want them to see how that he was eating or talking with what? the Gentiles. Yeah, he ran away from the Jews, sorry, the Pharisees, because he didn't want them to notice him with the Gentiles. And when Paul observed that, he made it public, the correction, because this was a public act. He said, "Sir, what you did is wrong. I observed you closely. When you saw or heard that the Pharisees were coming, you ran away from the Gentiles. You didn't want them to condemn you." He said, "That is wrong. For in Christ neither Jews nor Gentiles matter. If anybody be in Christ, what? New creation. It's not a function of Jews nor Gentiles again. And that's why you don't need to go to Israel to touch anything that is about God. If you are going to Israel just to have a nice view of the place, fine. But if you are going to Israel to tap into some spiritual power, you're wasting your time and your resources. Because it is anybody that is in Christ that is a new creation. Not anybody that steps his leg in Israel. If you go and sleep on the tomb of Jesus right now, you will not be more anointed than you are right now." So this is where they buried Jesus. And I was telling one of my friends, I think these guys should be very wise. They should set these guys up called Christians. Just look for anywhere and say, "This is where Jesus was buried." That's all. And people will pay thousands of dollars to enter where Jesus was buried. How are you even sure that that place they are pointing is where Jesus was truly buried? I think these guys are joking at us. Some sort of, they'll just tell you, "This is where, look at Abraham's feet, where he choked one of his leg. Look at it. You want to choke there? No, hold on, $10,000. One of their greatest source of revenue in that part of the world is these things we are doing here. This thing we are doing. As we travel, they'll collect money and pocket in their account. And that is why, even though they don't believe in Jesus, they want you people to come and see Jesus in the tomb. They want to show you where Jesus is. Isn't that funny? Huh? There are people who don't believe in Jesus who want to show you. They are so, you know, they want you people to come and see where Jesus is. I mean, their doors are open. Right now, they are passing a bill that Jesus should not be preached in that part of the world. But you can come and see in Stomo. We are not stopping you. Just pay your money in the account. Bring the receipt. See in Stomo. But don't preach him here. You see, that thing has been turned into business. So they quarreled about baptism. They had a heated argument. If you look at Paul's letter in 1 Corinthians 1, you see Paul expressing himself. He said, "I thank God I just baptized one person with water. After that, I did not baptize anybody again with water because I now have understanding." But some sort of, if you still keep on reading the book of Acts, some of the disciples still baptized with water. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain to you? So will you now look at the whole this thing now and conclude that, okay, because, you know, at this point, if Jesus resurrected and Peter or this person still baptized with water, then baptism is certified? No. That's not how you study. Because we are seeing John now understanding at the tail of his life what Jesus did for them, even in the middle of his life. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Just before he was 30, probably. Because he was younger than Jesus. Jesus did something before he was 30. He understood when he was close to his grave. So what do you have to say about that? And that's why in conclusion, Paul had to go and meet Peter, who was the head, and stay 3 days with him. 3 days and night, the Bible said. You see, why did Paul have to do that? To paint a picture to some of us today who are saying we have a lot of knowledge, that you are not supposed to fight people who have gone ahead of you. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? But to look for a way to make them understand what you know, in all patience. And I thank God for Paul. He did that. And after that, Peter wrote something to us in 2 Peter 3:16. He said, the writings of our dear brother Paul is rich. Is that not? He said, it's rich. It's God's wisdom. But he said something at the tail end. He said, it is so unique and wonderful and a little bit complicated, I'm trying to paraphrase, that if you misunderstand it, it will be to your own spiritual ruin. Meaning it will destroy you. And something comes to mind. What is the major topic of Paul? Grace and the kingdom. There are many people who have misunderstood the teachings of Paul on grace. You know, some people are saying something like this: whatever you do in the flesh today does not matter. Have you heard teachings like that? That if you are a Christian, no matter how you sin, you still go to heaven. Have you heard things like that? Paul warned in scripture. Even Paul warned. And that's what Peter was saying. That you probably may misunderstand Paul. And you will get yourself destroyed. Somewhere Paul said in Romans 5, he said, where there is sin, grace abides even more. Have you seen that part of scripture before? But not to the end that we keep on living in sin. He said, where there is sin, he said, grace abides even more. Meaning when you are weak, God is stronger in your life. God wants to show himself stronger in your life. And that's why when Paul cried in 2 Corinthians 12, that Lord, I'm weak. What did the Bible say? God told him, Paul, now that you are weak, my strength is what? Perfect in weakness. My grace is what? Sufficient for you. Not to the end that Paul will boast, you know, in the weakness. You know, because some people misunderstand Paul's scripture. Because Paul now said, so therefore I will boast in my weakness. So they mean that Paul is saying now, well, I'm glad I sleep around, the grace of God has covered me. I'm glad I drink alcohol, the grace of God has covered me. No, Paul is like, now that I understand the grace of God, I can boast with my weakness. In other words, I used to be a thief, but the grace of God has changed me. And I'm not ashamed because I'm not a thief anymore. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So he's boasting with the weakness now to the glory of God. Not boasting that he will do these things right now. But you see now, people have misunderstood 2 Corinthians, Romans 5. And now, where he said, where there is sin, grace abides even more. You see people interpreting it to meaning that, walk in sin, grace will cover. Walk in sin, grace will cover. Whatever you do, you know, does not matter. And the power of Romans again, that I think Romans 4, that said, blessed is the man that God counts not sin upon. I saw a preacher preaching that. And he said, oh, we in Christ, God does not count sin upon us. No matter what we do, he does not count sin upon us. That's rubbish. Because the statement is not sounding wrong, but the meaning you are giving to that statement is wrong. Yes, we are blessed in that God does not count sin upon us. And the word blessed there in Hebrew is to barakah, to empower somebody. We've been empowered. Remember what he told Adam and Eve. He blessed them and told them to what? Be fruitful. It's more like an empowerment. Go and do something because of the blessing. So you are not empowered to sin. You are empowered to reign and live above sin. The blessing is an empowerment for kings. And the call of a believer is to reign as kings and priests unto our God. You see that now? Not to walk in sin. So yes, we are empowered in that God counts not sin against us to the end that we reign and live above sin, not to live under the mastery of sin. And that's why Romans 6:14 says, now sin shall not have what? Dominion over you, because you are not under the law, but under grace. Say amen. Hallelujah to Jesus. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So there's some sort of an argument. But we now that are reading should be very wise to rightly divide the scripture. Because it's so obvious that nobody is supposed to be getting dipped in water today in the 21st century. Not because we are in a more civilized world, but because we have better understanding of the scriptures. By the help of the Holy Spirit. Do you understand what I'm trying to explain to you? But if we leverage our salvation still on these human factors, we will never be able to touch God. You are not stronger as a Christian because you were dipped in water. Your salvation is tied to the finished work of Jesus on the cross of Calvary. Not because of any water, not because of anything you are doing in the world physically, the washing of your feet, the washing of your stomach, the washing of your head, the sprinkling of your head. No! If anybody be in Christ, the word. You see, you are not even excited because you still have some anointing oil in your house. Not because of an anointing oil in your house. Goya oil is one of the best oil for frying. It's not any oil for anointing people's head. If you think I'm lying, go and use it to fry yam and see. Or use it to fry egg. It was not created for Christians. Yet, they are still producing it every day. Who will not? If it's you that own Goya oil, will you not be producing when you see Christians buy it? Why will you not be wise? I thank God for the owner of Goya oil. He's a very wise person. In fact, when you observe Christian like the oil, he was not just producing it again for business, for food. He started producing it and sending it to church and cathedrals. He's a wise guy. God is not in oils anymore. You get what I'm trying to say? Oil was supposed to be a symbol of the anointing. Now, who is the picture and the model of the anointing? Christ Jesus. And if anybody be in this anointing, he has been soaked. He's a new creation. He's like Christ. He's the anointed and the anointing. Walking anointing. Whatever you lay your hands on is blessed. The Bible said the handkerchief and aprons of Paul healed the sick and casted out demons. Does not mean that you should start looking for anointed handkerchief. They say from Paul, a fellow Christian like you. In other words, when I'm done with this, my handkerchief, and a demon touch it, as we have a consciousness that the demon will check back to hell. my consciousness that as I'm walking, any demon that tries to touch me. And I believe if all Christians begin to think like this, a lot of false prophets will run away. Because they have nothing to offer. They have nothing to offer. But ignorant Christians are the ones going to enrich these fake prophets. You are carrying salt. You bought the salt and you went. Somebody touched you. You now say it's anointed. If we teach you the calculation here, false prophets are very intelligent people. Let me tell you what made you free. It was not the salt. Neither was it the man that touched the salt. It was your faith that made you whole. If it ever made you whole. Because when they touch you, you just believe there's something extraordinary there. And you started pushing and pushing, and all of a sudden you saw a miracle. And because you saw a miracle, now Satan will now teach you, do it again. Recreate the miracle. But I tell you, don't do it without that thing again, I see. Are you listening to me tonight? And that is why we have a lot of powerless Christians. You go to a store, all our powers are in a store. They lock the store and come and open it again. We come and we are buying our powers in the store. No power in the church, power in the store. An unbeliever bought all of these things and kept for you to come and buy. And if you check some of these things, unbelievers are, in fact, maybe the people that are doing these things, they don't even worship God. Some of them are buying Angel Michael. I've seen something like that before. I tell you the truth, they are buying Angel Michael as if they've ever seen Angel Michael in their life. Where is the picture, the original picture of Angel Michael? Who snapped him in heaven? Who is the photographer? How do you know that the Angel Michael you have today is the original and not the counterfeit? Because you heard there is a warrior angel, you put sword. That was all. Who is Angel Michael? Any angel with wings with a sword. Then you see Angel Michael stand like this. Like rainbow. It's so funny. Who is Angel Gabriel? You don't know. The calm one. Then you now see a calm angel like this. Gabriel. And you see the one, the believer, bowing before those things. Then a deeper end, ignorance in display. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost? You see that? Some of you didn't hit it because you are religious. Your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. Temple of Holy Ghost is bowing down before a temple. What temple are you bowing down before? Years ago, I had a friend. I went to his church. And when I went, I saw an altar. He made it with rocky stones, and put a white this thing on top. And he said, that is where he sits and speaks with God. I got offended. I said, are you still in this old way of thinking? He said, Prophet Simon, I've heard your story. Don't start this thing here, I beg. Carry your belief and go. I said, no. Is this what you call altar? And those days I used to be troublesome. I now use my leg and hit the rock. And he fell and scattered. He said, what's the meaning of that? He shouted. I said, there's no power here. He can't even beat me. You know, we are actually of the same strength. We grew together, so I now hate it more. And I was prepared because I know I can stand him. So I said, I did it for us, a friendship. There's no power there. I said, if we are done, just tell the ushers to sweep this place. Nothing was ever here. He got offended. He said, what I'm supposed to preach, if it's not that my picture was there, I would have not even preached. I mean, you finish program, I enter late, and I'm scattering your altar. Because people have gone that time, so I was using my leg to scatter it. I couldn't believe it. Then I opened my Bible from my phone, and I said, show him scriptures. I said, you can insult me, but I will not stand this for you. You are bigger than this. I quoted. He did not answer me. I went back home. We're going to stay in the same place that night, because maybe we would have fought that night. But you see, the next day, something changed on his inside. He kept on pondering. And he said something, asking, what if Prophet Simon is right? And we were speaking one time. He said, well, you know you were right, but the way you broke, you scattered your, you disgraced me. I said, sorry for disgracing you. But somehow all things have worked together for good. Maybe if I didn't scatter the altar, your eyes would not be open. Maybe they bury something in the altar for you. Are you picking up trying to say? I went to a home one time. The mom, you know, they were praying in the morning and they found out I was not bowing to the altar. They were bowing and praying. They are from an Orthodox background. I was staying with my friend there. So my friend was like, ah, if mommy catch you, don't come there. All of us have to go. Even though we pray in tongues, she told us we can pray our tongues, but she come and bow early in the morning. So they will go, but they will stand before it and bow and bow. And when I came, while we were bowing, and I sat down on the cushion, and I was like, but somebody has to tell mommy something. Somebody has to tell mommy something. So after that, she called him and said, she will not take this rubbish. Everybody is bowing. I refuse to bow. It was a beautiful altar. He has two candles and all sort of Jesus picture and etc. And we didn't really have a discussion. He just told me what mommy said. Then within the week, on a Wednesday or Thursday, they said a woman appeared in one dirty river we used to cross to the market around Karatudu there. That she appeared. And when she appeared, they said everybody has to leave their churches and go and celebrate the service there at the river. So the reverend went to that riverside to celebrate the service because she appeared there. And I asked him, where are you going to? He said, ah, everybody is going. Oh. Mommy said everybody should be going. Nobody, they even locked the house. I was outside. Because we all had to go. But I was outside. I refused to go. I knew what was happening. When they came back, thank God the Father, God bless his soul today, is late. He's such a wonderful man. He likes to communicate with me. He said, my son, why did you not go? I said, ah, daddy, I didn't want to say this thing out. But how can you be sure that that woman that appeared there is from heaven? He said, there's light now when she's white. I said, daddy, some occult people wear white for their meeting. He said, Simon, you're making point. I said, yes, sir. And I opened the scripture and showed him. Even the devil appears as an angel of light. It blew his mind. He wanted to hear me well. When they found out that me and daddy are flowing in the house, everybody was shocked. He said, go ahead, son, go ahead. I was breaking it. He was like, go ahead, go ahead. And I observed mommy's face was not so excited that day. And in the evening, when they wanted to pray, he said, Simon, can you explain what you were explaining in the morning? I want the whole family to hear. With all gladness. I came like a humble boy. I said, good evening, everybody. Good evening. We did not plan this. But you see, God works in mysterious ways. And before I start, I just want people to know that I'm not condemning anybody believe. It's as the Spirit gives utterance. Mommy, good evening, especially. All right. I opened it. When I began to break it, some people were smiling. A few were boning. So at the end, they asked me, okay, hit the nail on the head. What are you actually trying to say? I said, at this time, I believe everybody should know what I'm talking about. They said, no, use your mouth and talk what you are saying. So I use my mouth and I talk what I'm saying. And everybody was quiet. The meeting ended some sort of. Hallelujah to Jesus. People, you know, the Pharisees asked Jesus, are you greater than our father Moses that started this thing? It's not about the truth now. It's about who is greater that said it. Who looks better for we to accept the truth? And Jesus was like, before Abraham was, I am. Just like John the Baptist affirmed. He said, I came before him on the earth, but he's preferred before me. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? These things we are talking about is not new. It's the real stuff. Colossians 3:3 in the Amplified said, our new real life is hidden with Christ in God. These things that we are saying that seems new, it's not new. It's the actual you. Are you forgetting what I'm trying to say? What you are having today is a revelation of what has been there. Who knows the function of Windows E right here? Over this road. Who knows the function of Windows E on the system? Now, Does a function like that exist? Yes. Do all of us here know it? No. A few of us know it. It means to open your file explorer. But has it always been there as a function? Yes. Have some people been going the long way to open file explorer? Yes. I'm a fan of shortcuts on system. In fact, I get sick when I see people following the right process to open anything on a system. You see me saying, please, I heard it will worry me if you do this thing. I literally think it may start worrying me. You want to open file explorer, I see somebody entering and pressing. I'll just press 1, 2, and I want it to open sharp, sharp. Doesn't mean I like shortcuts in life. Are you people get what I'm trying to say? Say, this boy, he likes shortcuts in everything. It has always been there. But today, some of you, if you carry your system after church and press Windows E, you will see File Explorer open. And you'll be like, wow. But has it always been there, that function? Yes. But when did you discover it? Today. That's why the Bible said, today when you hear his word, don't strong your heart. Harden not your heart. So that you can catch the revelation of God's word. I said to people in the GCC meeting that there was a story about an old man and a young man. Can I have two people, old and young? Old, Chobai head come. Perfect picture of an old man. And who is a young person there? All right, come. Ageda, the gentle barrister. This is your work too. It's too gentle. All right. Face like this. Old man, bring a chair for him. Sit here. This is bus stop. So sit down on your bus stop. At the bus stop, sorry. Car is coming like this. All right. They are waiting for their car. This man is up here. Come. Let's make it more real. Stand like this. Yeah, facing me like this. So the car is coming. These guys are at the bus stop here. He now tells this man, come and sit down, please. This is where the car will actually stop. And that guy is like, no, the car will stop there. He said, no, this is where the car will actually stop. He's like, no, the car will actually stop there. Then he says to him, well, all these young people, what an old man will sit there and see. Young people will climb a tree and still not see it. Then the bus eventually comes. As it's coming, it will pass this old man. That's a storyline. It comes and stops here. And the old man is shocked. Because the system entails that the bus should stop where? Here. Because that's what bus stop. But this man now comes to him finally and says, ah, sir. Well, thank you for all your care. But what you did not know is that the person driving this bus is my father. And he told me that I should stop at the front of the bus stop, not at the bus stop. Stop. What did you learn here? This man has a revelation. This one has the experience. This has become a religion for them. But this guy has a revelation. And that's why when Jesus came, revelation, it was experience and religion that fought revelation. It seemed like what Jesus was saying was new. People with the experience, people with the religion were the one fighting him. In fact, they said at the end, his blood be upon and our children. They fought Jesus to steeple. Are you greater than our father Abraham? I mean, well, you know, today I was watching one documentary. That Jacob's well, they created a church there. The church is at the center. The well is at the center of the church. That well that woman met Jesus. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? They created a church and the well is at the center. So I was just smiling. Well, don't pretend like you'll be innocent if that well was in Nigeria. Don't pretend like you'd have not traveled to go and buy holy water. Jesus said to her, give me water to drink. And she said, you are not from us. We can't give you water. And Jesus said, let me look for a way to get our attention. Jesus thought of the prophetic. He said, 1, 2, 3, 4. You've married several husbands. He called the number. She was shocked. He said, okay, now I have her attention. That's why neglect not the gifts of God that is within you. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? It will help. And so, Jesus began to speak with her. He said, I told you to give me water, you refuse. But you see, I can actually dig a well in your spirit, and out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. And she was wondering, what level of pride is this? So worship is supposed to be done in Jerusalem. on the mountain. He said, no, worship is not supposed to be done in Jerusalem, neither is worship supposed to be done on the mountain. He said, worship is supposed to be done where? In the spirit. Imagine that what she said was true. We'll all be traveling to Jerusalem to go and worship God at the mountain. But you see, the funniest part of it is that some people, they have now religiously, how do I put it now, made mountains to become a tool of the spirit. Alright? So you see, even though they say if very worship is supposed to be done on the mountain for that woman, you know, her belief in Jerusalem, Mount Horeb and etc., whatsoever mountain they had climbed before, Nigerians and Africans now are not allowing us rest. Now, if for instance everybody will go to mountains and pray in peace and come down without telling anybody that you are not praying effectively, it would have not been a problem. But if you observe today, some people think where you capture God is still on the mountain, even in Africa. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? All of these things are what we call weights in the spirit. Weights. I had a friend years ago, he wanted to travel to Ekiti. I said, what do you want to go and do in Ekiti? He said, he wants to go and climb the mountain of Apostle Babalola or something. That he wanted to go and tap some spiritual powers. And I said to him, I'm disappointed. Straight to him. I said, I'm very disappointed at you. He said, Pastor Simon, is that? I said, more like a palm wine tapper. If you go to tap palm wine, it would have been better than what you are going to do. I said to him, I said, if anybody be in Christ is a new creation, don't you get it? And I said, if you think you need to touch something with that from that man, why not just carry any material that speaks about him and read and see what God did in him and he will do in you too? Because the Bible teaches us that we can covet the best gifts. We can covet the best manifestation of the Spirit that it seems to us. If I like this guy the way he prophesies, I try to covet that. Meaning the same Spirit that work in him can work in me. I can just say, God, what is working in Donut should work in me. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? And it works so. So what is fighting even in our generation? Experience and religion is fighting what? Revelation. And if you talk revelation in this generation, one question comes to mind. The same that was asked to Jesus. Are you greater than so and so person that has said the opposite? Are you greater than so and so person that has said the opposite? That's the question you still get in this generation. And that's why the church seems to be backward or static in one place. Jesus said, I cannot put new wine in what? Old wineskin. I can't put new wine. This new power cannot be demonstrated under the system of the old wineskin. It will be overstretched. There will be an outburst. Everything will scatter. There must be new wine in what? New wineskin. Meaning our thinking must be different. We must see God's power in our generation. The way he promised for the new creation. And I tell you some sort of, there must be a people like Jesus that will rise from the earth and be a little bit rugged like Jesus. I was talking to their courage one time. We were standing at my car. And when I saw people coming from Sheraton, you know, have you seen youth coming? God bless them. But some sort of, you see them with one kind of funny dresses, sometimes dressed anyhow. And all they are doing is go there to drink, to swim. Have you seen them? Several times, isn't it? And one time when I was coming back, I said, oh dear Jesus. I said, do you know all of these people have a church they attend on Sundays? And I couldn't hold it. I told all of them. I said, the only reason we can bet a revival is a little touch of, is with a little touch of stubbornness and ruggedity. Some sort of like Jesus. He said, I want to pour fire on the earth. And how I wish the fire was already ablaze. He said, but there's a baptism I must receive. What is the baptism? It's death, burial, and what? Resurrection. He said, when that fire is ignited upon the face of the earth, he said, something strange will happen. He said, parents will rise against their children. Children will rise against their fathers. Fathers will rise against their mothers. Because you say, this is not what I believe in. This thing is wrong. The first person that nearly finished me when I started this thing was my mom. Because those days I would ask her sincere questions. Mommy, what is the meaning of this? She does not have an explanation, but she knows that this is the truth. And one emotional statement she will always tell me is that this is where you started. You cannot change anything here. Even Jesus, the Bible says his custom will entail, he always went to the temple. Every Saturday, but when it was time, he still went to the temple and said, what you are doing is wrong. In Acts 5, he told Peter, he said, go and stand before the temple and preach eternal life. Some of you, God is sending you back to where you came from. I'm not saying he should send you to go and stay there and not come back. He's sending you to go back to the gates and say, listen, this is wrong. But some of you are scared because they will flog you. But the Bible has already promised that. Receive the flogging for his sake. Is it a new fire will be stirred? Do you know some of you, the fear you have is not real? I remember years ago, I was telling a young man, he said, Pastor, if I tell my father this thing, I know my father, he will slap me. He will slap me. He was around 25, 26. I said, what born? He said, firstborn. One day I called him to my office. I said, when did your father give birth to you? He said, my dad said around 27, 26, thereabout. I said, that means right now you're a disappointment. Because you're supposed to have a child like your father. And I said, but I'm just joking. I said, well, you know, for the guy, his father was refusing his beliefs and the father was treating them wrongly. He will beat up the mom and do crazy things and he cannot talk. According to him, he said, because he doesn't know how to start the conversation. It is his father. So I said to him, listen, I'm not teaching you to be stubborn. But if your father had a child at 26 and you are 26 now and you are not talking, you are a disgrace to men. Go back the next time your father wants to slap your mom and say, stop. This is wrong. Sit down, let's talk man to man. He said, Pastor, what did you just say? I said, what I said. Because now you are a man. If you decide to want to marry, your father will allow you to marry. You know, one time a lady met me, she said, sir, if I do not do this, my mother will beat me. My father, I said, if you do not do, I said, choose the man they are saying. I said, yo. So your parents think you can marry. But they think you don't have the liberty to make a choice. If they know that you are mature, that's why they are saying you should marry, because they think you are mature. But now they haven't decided who you should marry because you are a dundee. I said, listen, sometimes we make parents understand that we are matured. Doesn't mean you are stubborn. And that's why the Bible said parents too can cause problems sometimes. It said children respect your parents in the Lord, for that is good. Are you listening to me? Then he now said, but parents do not what? Provoke your children to. That means sometimes your parents will have, can do, there's a possibility that they can say the wrong things. Okay, if your father tells you to go and slap Tinubu, go and slap him. If your father tells you to go and protest at the White House, go and protest. If your father tells you one, how many of you have your father give you an answer when you were growing up? You know your father's answer was wrong. Huh? And you still put the wrong answer. How many of you? Like you argued much with your father. You know, sometimes everybody had that experience. When your father, you know answer, your father wants to argue with you, and I say, okay. But when you are getting close to school, you clean it and put the answer that you know. Because you had tried it the first time, you failed woefully. They asked you who did it. You could not even say in school that it's your father. Because this whole class will laugh at your father. It is possible to say 1 + 1, daddy, and daddy will say 11. Now, if you love your daddy very well, put 11. Jesus was not being proud. Whether we like it or not, the Pharisees were wrong, even though they were older than Jesus. And that's why Jesus shocked them with a statement. He said, Moses said that to you because of the hardness of your heart. Look at how Jesus is arranging the thing. Those ideologies you have, it's because you were very stubborn to Moses. That's why he said that to you. He said, well, me, I'm tougher than Moses. I will tell you as it's supposed to be from the beginning. From the beginning, it was not so. So we go back to the beginning, not Moses. I wish you get this. You can get seated. We go back to the beginning, not Moses. Did you get what I just said? What I just said here? Meaning the beginning is greater than the law. That's why our new real life, are you getting what I'm trying to say? Greater than Moses. And that's why he said something. He said, before Abraham was, I am. They didn't remember that he told Moses that go tell Pharaoh the one that sent you is the I am as I am. But they didn't get the revelation that the one that sent Moses, who is the great grandfather of Abraham, is the one speaking right now. Do you get what I'm trying to explain to you? Very important. Very important. Glory to God forevermore. But what is the emphasis? Why am I saying all of these things? Go back to where we were in Hebrews. I want to end now. Like I told you, we are not wasting time because of security. Let's hit the nail on the head. Hebrews 21, all right, 10, 21. Now, then you hit verse 24, just immediately. One, two, read. And since... All right, and since we have a great and wonderful priest who rules over the house of God. Remember, we are being ushered into the New Testament world. But if you observe, after Paul spoke about what Jesus has done, the next thing Paul began to emphasize is the church. The next thing Paul began to emphasize is house of God. Look at verse 24. And let us consider thoughtfully how we may encourage one another. Is it 24 or 23? Where he said, do not neglect the assembling of the brethren. In the NKJV, please, not the Amplified. Is it 25? 25, the NKJV. Not forsaking the word assembling. Give me from 24 so that we just align something very fast. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. He's saying a lot of things that can happen in church. And because of what he has said from 20 to 24, all right, more like saying that since Jesus has done it, now you have to come to church. I want to summarize very fast. He began speaking about the house of God. After talking about what Jesus has done in the New Testament, the next thing he began to speak about is the house of God. And saying what can happen to us in the house of God. Like order in verse 24. And that's why finally in verse 25, we'll read again together. One, two, read. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as it is in the manner of some. But what? And so much. You see that? He's saying that you must not neglect church. That everything Jesus has done, if you don't have a local assembly where you sit down and listen, it cannot be actualized in your life. I said all of these things to say this. The assembling. You come here, you are being perfected, then you understand your function and you do it. That is where the assembling gets fulfilled. Because if you look at the function of the fivefold ministry, we get to perfect the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edification of the body of Christ. You see that now? So when you get perfected as a saint, when you understand your place in Christ, you now know your purpose and know your function in church. That's why I tell you that sometimes you can be in a department. As you grow in church, you see that you want to change your department. You just feel like, I think I would do better here. This is not where I necessarily need to be. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? What is happening like that? Assembling together. Everybody is understanding their function. And they are giving their best to that function. And that is why God connected the end time move of the spirit to in the book of Joel, it speaks about the end time army. He says they don't break their ranks. Their uniqueness to showing the power of God is that they don't break their ranks. You know what that means? They know their function and they are doing exactly their functions. What is your function in the local church? If we must see the glory of God, it is not these haphazard things we are doing. If we are doing things haphazardly, we can't see the glory of God. If we get perfected, the proof is that we assemble together. We do the right functions. We are in the right department and give our best to what we are doing. That's what will determine the move of God upon the face of the earth. But Satan knows this. And that is why Satan is always trying to cause what? Distractions. He said, the Bible said, Paul speaking, he said, together we are built up as lively stones, individually. Building up the house of the Lord. All of us make up lively stones to build to the building of God's house. The enemy wants us to misunderstand this part of scripture and not fulfill whatsoever we ought to do that will get us capacitated for the move of God in these last days. And that's why you see that some sort of, when people seem to be spiritual, one of the things they start having problem with is the local church. They think it is the spirit. They don't know that it is an antichrist spirit. Paul prophesied that. He said in the last days, he said children will become rebellion. He said they will become rebellion. They will become disobedient. They will hate instructions. They will hate order. When I sat down, I was thinking today, I said to myself, many people don't understand the power of God that will ooze out from the local church. They think it's by sitting down somewhere and trying and be praying and say, God, use me for a revival. Listen, there's a place like that too. But God will never show his glory so much for you individually as a person than he will show together with the body, because he's not come for your salvation. Whatever he's doing with you that you think is so perfect, he wants it to be extended to everybody. Because he didn't come for you alone. He wants everybody to be perfected by that beauty. So anything that you think God is doing with you that is making you have an independent spirit is not from God. It's from the enemy. Because the tail end of what Paul told us in Ephesians 4 from 10, he said that whatever that we have been fortified with, that will aid for us to do effective ministry, will result to the edifying of the body. You see that? The end product is that everybody, even the body of Christ, should partake from whatsoever beauty that is oozing out in our local assembly as a result of our perfection in Christ Jesus by the fivefold ministry. So imagine that you are breaking the algorithm. Firstly, you don't want to be perfected. You want the perfected, the perfection at your own detriment. You choose when to come to church. Imagine you choose when to go to school. How do you become a fortified doctor, a fortified engineer? Are you listening to me? And Satan is making sure that more and more people have problems with the local church, thinking that they can sit at the in the comfort of their houses and just, you know, enter into what God has for them, God's destiny for them, and fulfill his will. It's not possible. I understand and I admit that a lot of people have wrongly represented God and represented the church. But whether we like it or not, the church still stands as the church. Just like I had said about banks. Thank God we have one banker in church today. I've seen him for the first time in a long time. He works with UBA. No matter what EcoBank probably would have done to you. Kai, this man say Kai. EcoBank have done him something. Now, no matter what EcoBank would have done to you, or First Bank. Dude, I'll show you a trend here. But no matter what EcoBank or First Bank have done to you, you still will store your money in a bank. There are some of you woke up one morning with 3,500 naira debits. And you asked why. And they told you one reason. And they're paying you because that was your last cash. You have been saving that money for something. And they say it's maintenance or it's ledger. In fact, some of you just hook there, you see it, but you can't touch it. They say it's ledger balance. Give me my money, it's ledger balance. You can't touch. You see, you can't touch. Anything above the 3.5 is what you can touch. But how many of you will keep 3 million in your house? Because bank has done so much bad things to you. Tell us if you have 3 million. We are watching you. We want to escort you home. Even if you are sleeping and rat just passed your ceiling. Firstly, the 3 million will be your baby. If you have your husband, you tell him, please excuse us. Shift to the other side. You cuddle your... You know that is a thing. I'm telling you what people do. I'm not telling you... I'm not even sure Mama T will not do this. You shift. See, Prophet Simon shifts more. And maybe she'll cuddle her money as pillow. You money, I imagine you as prophet today. You are going to receive some cuddles. And probably prophet is not in that house. And somebody begins to knock in. The first thing that will come to your mind is that, who said to them that I have 3 million in my house? Somebody has come for. Maybe you are just in church and your 3 million is in your room. And you heard that fire caught your neighborhood. And we are not really sure, Mama Ngozi, but we are seeing smoke in your room, smoke in your house, smoke in your... Smoke! Where? Oh! If you don't faint there, you will take the clothes, you will see Mama Ngozi running back home. Why? There's 3 million. Only her no one's in that house. You know, some of you have seen people sometimes that they say something happened in the house. And you see them run and go and check somewhere. And when they see, they do. Because they know what they kept there. Nobody will want to store, I won't say 3 million. Who will store 1 million in the house? Cash. 1 million naira. Cash. So I'm giving myself 1 week break. I'm not going out. Say, why are you not going out? I'm on retreat. You don't even trust anybody that season. You still prefer bank. I wanted to say that. Did you observe that old people still like Echo Bank and First Bank? The Lord give you understanding. So we're going somewhere. Are you okay? When you mention OP, they tell you what is wrong with you. I told my father I want to create OP. He said, don't try that rubbish. Don't try it. I love First Bank. I said, really? He said, yes. Don't try that. The worst if you say Pampy. They even influenced us. Do you know it's in church here that one of us started telling us about Pampy, which is Richard. He says, sir, I have so amount. I've dropped before so amount in my Pampy. So I have now. Some people say, Richo. Now, pastor said what you have. But he used to have. And maybe he has. I don't know. He said, I've put some amount in my Pampy before. I say, hey, let me see. I said, I thought Pampy, if you put money, they will not give you again. They will just drag your money. He said, hey, sir, they used to give 50 million. Pampy. I said, really? That's when I started using Pampy. When we got the format, my wife too arranged a Pampy. My wife don't used to waste time for all this kind of information. She arranged her own sharp. You put some money in Pampy, they will be giving you interest daily. I remember one time I put money in Pampy. I said, I saw 2,000 something. I said, hey, for what? They said, daily bonus. I said, daily bonus 2K. I wish I knew this when I was single. This would be my food money every day. Well, no. This man of God did not hear me talk about UBA Bank. It's our bank, all right? Let it not look like I'm not marketing your bank. But if you observe, all of our account in this church is from you. You see me in your bank almost every time. The way we love OP now, we still not have OP account as a church. Because some of us did not agree in the meeting. Some people say, sir, if you put our money in OP will end. And I say, no. But how do people get what I'm trying to say? You still go for banks. Finally, what am I trying to say? No matter what churches have done to you, you've gone to a church, something bad happened, something dirty happened, something crazy happened, don't go to a mosque, still go to another church. Don't go to a traditional worshiper, still go to another church. That's why they say don't go to the church closest to you, go to a church closest to the Bible. The church that Jesus is the Lord and is the center of everything. I forget what I'm trying to say. And your spirit can bear witness when you are there. What is emphasized there? The word of God. You go where a pastor took advantage of you, did this to you, member. Don't, it doesn't mean, not even members, just pastor. It doesn't mean. I remember years ago, a man called me and he said his pastor did that, blah, 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 blah. To cut the long story short, the pastor slept with a lady and they all know about it in the church and the pastor instructed he marries the lady as a spiritual son. And when he knew about it, he said, I'm not going to marry. He didn't marry her, but he wanted to give her a husband. And he refused. And he reached out to me. And I said to him, I said, well, the only advice I'm giving you is to leave the church if you don't want to marry the lady, except you want to marry the lady. Now, if you've known those atrocities, God is not the center of that. God is not the one speaking through him. Something is wrong. On the grounds of immorality, you have the right to leave. That's what I told him. And he left. Hallelujah to Jesus. But not members. Some of you, you say, okay, pastor, if a church is giving you trouble, change. Maybe a member, are you one kind? You say, I don't like this church. They eye people anyhow. I will leave. Don't be stupid. There is no place they will not eye you. If you are running away from a problem because of a member in one church, you meet another one in another church. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? You meet another one in another church. Sometimes as we are raising people are talking like this, some people as he's entering here, Satan is removing it. Here, I'll be here. I don't even know what you want to say. Some, they are receiving it and it's entering them immediately. So we cannot hit our chest and say, after this service, everybody will behave like the message. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? But at least as pastors, we are doing our job. Even in Jesus' ministry, Judas was there. So we cannot put 100 by over 100 for any church. You will say a crazy thing with members. But see something. No matter how dirty the ark was, if you were outside the ark, you are in a big problem. Imagine during the flood, God told Noah to build ark. He built the ark. Then what happened? At the end of everything, hallelujah to Jesus. At the end of everything, you enter the ark because they put two animals there. You enter. You saw that pig had poo poo everywhere. You say, oh God, that's rubbish. And you spoke Queen's English and went outside. I can't be there. There are pigs in there. That place is not dirty. I'm so demure. I'm so fine. I can't be there. And flood starts. And you are knocking Noah. Noah, na joke have been there. I beg, open this. Noah, I go manage anything. Noah, Noah, please. You'll be finished. No matter how dirty the ark was. Imagine you are in the ark and they are telling you, see your long head. Will you want to go out? If you enter the ark, they say you look shapeless. Where do you want to go? Say, I'm angry. I look shapeless. I'm leaving. Where would you go? You want to go outside of the ark? You enter the ark and they say, see you loser. Oh, will you leave the ark? If you enter the ark and they say, mention all the bad things that you hear people say they do to them in church. If some will enter a church, they will think everybody is righteous. They will start borrowing people their money. There's some people join church to borrow money. They will just join and say, make a join this church, see where I could borrow money. You know. And when they borrow your money and then you tell them, they know you don't my money. The Bible says show love, especially to the household of faith. It did not say borrow money to the household of faith. It says show love. Did it tell you to start a borrowing money organization? You enter church, you say you want to show love, you start sharing money. Now you have been known in the church. You are surprised over 10 people in the church are asking, hello, I need loan. Loan. At the end of everything now, they are preaching you cannot smile. Why are you not smiling? The people shouting word are owing you money. In fact, sometimes, word! You're like, my God, stupid boy. Say, I can never be broke. The person that stand up and join me say, see this loser. If not these people, they confess, and that's why they don't confess some of this. If people are shouting, I can never be broke, you see some people just sit down. Because the person who said, I can never be broke, is owing them money. He is broke. Are you listening to me? Stay in the ark. Don't leave the ark. They are talking against you. Stay in the ark. They shout on you. Stay in the ark. No matter what, it is better to be in the ark. I went to your church the other day. There's one boy that talked to me in a way I didn't like. Is it good? That's why I said I will not go again. Say, come back, let's enter ark, my sister. Shh, we'll go enter ark. Enter ark. Picture the ark. The Bible called Noah a preacher of righteousness. Now, how was Noah a picture of righteousness? If you enter the ark, it doesn't matter the sin you have committed, flood will not destroy you. Do you know many people security in the church? As long as they are members, no matter how stupid they are, there's a covering over them. I wish you get what I'm trying to explain. There's a covering over them. No matter how stupid, there's a covering over them because they are still in the ark. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? He said, do not neglect the garden of brethren. He said, for it is like the what? Oil that flows from what? The head to the beard to the skirt of Aaron. Meaning there's a particular kind of anointing, a corporate anointing that is tied. Priestly anointing. That's why Aaron was used there. That when we gather together and pray concerning your issue, there will be a change. No matter how stupid you are, tell somebody, stay in the ark. Don't neglect the assembly. That is why Satan will fight your dedication to church. He will fight it. Some of you are observing that in these last days, as we are going and going and going, you are seeing the troubling situation, even in our church. All of a sudden, somebody's spirituality has warranted them to, you know, to know that it is an attack on the assembly. It is that the offense you had, the people that became the victim at the end, is the church. The offense you are, no matter the situation you are, it is to the end that Satan just wants. Why couldn't you just be around and solve the problem? He just wants you to leave. He wants want to break the assembly. But of course, he doesn't know that when Elijah leaves, there are many more that are not bowed to Baal. And that's why, as a preacher, you will never, never admit that somebody's leaving can cost the church anything. No. You must be bold and speak like God. I told my wife one time, I heard a preacher saying that, "Ah, if this man leave me, my own has finished." I said, "Kai, that's what Satan heard. Today, that person is not there again." I said, "That statement was wrong." He said, "Father of faith." I said, "No, you don't talk like that. You never sound vulnerable before anybody. No. No. And if you really were your mind was still on revelation, you never sound like that. For somebody who raised from nothing to something, why do you think God will not reproduce many? Who were them before they came and encountered God's word? Are you listening to me? Let me tell you, God only makes men through other men. There is no other way. Are you listening to me? Let nobody deceive you that if you sit in your house, the Holy Spirit will be taught. It's a big lie. It's a fat lie. It's in the New Testament that we are seeing what Jesus has finished doing. In Hebrews 10, the next thing Paul spoke about is that you don't what? Neglect what? The gathering of brethren. The next thing. He said, don't neglect it. And Paul affirmed it to us. He said, gifts have been given to the church. The prophet, the apostles, and etc. He said, for the edifying of the saints. This is a New Testament scripture. He said, for the work of the ministry. It is because it is very important. He said, to the edification of the body of Christ. Understand this. It is Satan fighting the move of God. Fighting the things of God. Fighting it. You claim you understand revelation now. Now you have a ministry outside the local church. Are you listening to me? A ministry independent of the local church. And the only thing you do is to talk against the local church. So your ministry now is the ministry of talking against pastors and churches. That's your calling. And that's why I started telling you some mature things at the beginning of this sermon. That if you observe now, Peter was wrong in scripture. Paul corrected him. But who was still the head of the church? Peter. Paul did not become the head of the church. Are you listening to me? So that when you see something wrong that somebody says, you will not say God has left him. No. You can be doctrinally wrong. It doesn't mean you are a false prophet. And that's why no matter what, we don't discard the prophet, but the prophecy. I learned that from Prophet Kubus. He said, discard the wrong prophecy, not the prophet, except the prophet is a false prophet. Meaning when we see somebody who is genuinely wrong for something, you can be very sincerely wrong. We allow that to slide. This is God's man. He still loves the Lord. But he's wrong on this matter. We may decide to correct. And that doesn't mean you should just be quiet. If God gives you the privilege, correct. I'm not saying go to Facebook and start insulting. I say if God gives you the privilege, what? Correct. God has given, if it's not you, he has given other people the privilege. You that don't have that privilege now or access, keep your mouth shut. That is why when the man of God called in Acts 18, Apollos, when he was wrong, Priscilla and Aquila did not say, "Sir, you are wrong." They didn't stand up during the service. They allowed him to finish. When he was done, the Bible said they went to him and said, "Sir, on this matter, you were scriptural. You didn't do it right. That was not exegesis. It was exegesis. You were insisting on something there. So you are very wrong, sir." Then I asked him of whose baptism. He was so humble, he received them. He said of John's baptism. He said, "You are limited in a lot of things. We'll take you to our pastor." They took him to their pastor, Paul. Paul was the one that asked him. When he said John's baptism, Paul said, "No, that's not that. The essence of John's baptism is this one I'm about to do. Come close." And he laid hands on Apollos. He became filled with the Holy Ghost. See the humility of Apollos. See what it costs. In 1 Corinthians 4, Apollos and Paul were in one city. It was divided into two. Some were shouting, "I'm for Paul." Some were shouting, "I'm for Apollos." Who imparted Apollos? Paul. Who taught Apollos? Paul. Who got Apollos filled? Paul. Humility does not make you small. It keeps you, it gets you capacitated to a point that you begin to fulfill greatness, destiny. To that point. Are you listening to me? So I see my pastor's pastor is the other pastor. But the pastor may look younger. It does not matter. Are you listening to me? You heard what John the Baptist said. He said, "I'm older than him, but he's preferred before me." Meaning what I'm doing is wrong. His ministry is the right one. Are you listening to me tonight? I think if Christians learn to walk by the Spirit, there will be no problem. Because tell me something now. How many of you will really understand the situation in the Bible days where John the Revelator, who said these words I just said by the Spirit, is now asking his disciples, he said, go and ask Jesus, is he the one? I mean, we should expect another. How many of you will hear that, will understand that if John came on live on Facebook after saying Jesus is the one and saying, listen, I'm not even sure that guy is the one again. Go and affirm. How many of you will be able to discern and say, ah, this thing now is the biases of human being that is speaking here. It's not the Spirit of God. You see why all believers have to be filled with the Spirit? So that we can pick it and say, John the Baptist, at this point now, your humanity, they talk. It's not God. It's your humanity that is speaking John the Baptist. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you now? Learn to walk by the Spirit. Are you all filled with the Holy Ghost in this place? Walk with Him every day. Listen to Him every day. All that I'm teaching you right now is just a joke compared to what He will expound to you when you sit with Him. It's the truth. It's not even about amen. Sit with Him and see. I tell you, what your eyes will be open to see will blow your mind. Give Him the privilege to open the scrolls to you. Give Him that privilege. Of course, you are going there with faith. Sit down. Holy Spirit, open my eyes to the reality of scriptures. You'll be amazed. Dare it. You know, some people don't even believe they can have a revelation. Especially some that even think teaching the word is a gift. It's not a gift. If we all have the Holy Spirit, we all have must know the word of God. Are you listening to me? It's not a gift. You may be seeing it in my life as a possibility to the end that it should work in your life. Hallelujah to Jesus. Are you here tonight? So don't look down the local church. Don't allow the devil paint the local church wrongly to you. No matter the humanity of any person you see, it does not equate for you. It does not permit. It does not qualify for you leaving the local church. Stay in the ark. Stay in the ark. Stay in the ark, because no matter how dirty the ark may be, when the flood comes, only those in the ark will stand the test of time. Are you listening to me tonight? Do not neglect the word assembling. The assembling of the brethren. Stay in the ark. Let's build you up and keep you where you can. Assemble you where you can function for God as an end time army. And when we put you there, don't break your rank. Did you catch what I'm trying to say? You want to see the greatest move of God? We ooze out from the church. Never quote me, even if I'm not alive. Never through any individual body. It must be through the church. So whatever joke you see today is just the weaknesses of human beings that are showing forth. Are you listening to me tonight? I want you tonight to bow your heads and pray and say, Lord, wherever I've erred and serving you in the local church, help me to realize and help me to adjust. Go ahead. Well, I've come to the end of the service. Go ahead and pray. Help me, Holy Spirit. I want it to be a very sincere prayer. A very sincere prayer. Where I'm not functioning properly, help me to realize. I want to be part of the assembly. So that I will be part of the mighty move of the Spirit in this last days.
I am sure you were blessed by these words of life and peace from Prophet Simon Thomas. Get transformed by the truth of God's Word by visiting and following our social media handles at Glory Carriers Ministry International, and get more messages at www.embassyofglory.com. Also, worship with us on Tuesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays, first service by 8 a.m. and second service by 10:15 a.m. at Sheraton Hotels beside Benue State House of Assembly, Mukherjee, Benue State. God bless you.